Welcome back to the Discount Property Investor Podcast. Our mission is to share what we have learned from our experience and the experience of others to help you make more money investing like a pro. We want to teach you how to create wealth by investing in real estate the Discount Property Investor way. To jumpstart your real estate investing career, visit freewholesalecourse.com, the most complete free course on wholesaling real estate ever. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Discount Property Investor Podcast. I am your host, David Dodge. My co-host, Mike Slane, is in the field today helping with some of our rental rehabs. But I have an amazing guest, an awesome person, a coach, a real estate investor, and a mom that flips. Lauren Hardy is here with me today. Lauren, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, what's up, David? I am doing very well. It's been a long time since I've been on this show. So much has changed and we have so much to talk about.
I love it. So we had Lauren on once before and we're going to get her on again, guys. Don't worry. It'll be hopefully not as long as the last time. So if you haven't heard Lauren on our show already, go back and check it out. It's episode 166, Lauren Hardy from This Mom Flips. And today we're actually at episode 282. Holy cow. So we've done 120 episodes essentially between now and then. And it looks like I had you on back in like maybe August or ish of 2020. May of 2020.
Hey, so
Wow, it's been over a year. But regardless, happy to have you back on the show. Lauren was just telling me that she's got hundreds of students and she is crushing it and her students are crushing it. And not only is she coaching people, but she is doing this, right? She has her own wholesaling business. It's a virtual business. Lauren, I'm going to have you obviously tell you know, everybody, you know, a little bit about yourself, but just really quickly before you jump in, I really, really, really like, you know, interviewing Lauren because not only is she just an awesome person, but her strategy is just so unique. She lives in Southern California, where the prices are really expensive and it's really hard to come across deals. So she virtually wholesales. And that's the beautiful thing about this business is, you know, once you figure out a couple, you know, relatively simple systems and processes to put in place from these systems, you don't have to be in the market that you're doing deals in. You know, you can be virtual in the sense of, you know, a couple states away, you could be a couple cities away. I mean, you could, in theory, you could be across the world. So it's just really, really cool. So Lauren, again, welcome. I'm so happy to have you. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself, just for those who don't know. And I would imagine most people know who Lauren is, but if you don't know, tell us a little bit about you.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Dave, it's great to be on. Good to see you again. So a little bit about me, I'll give you kind of a brief from the start. I started getting into real estate investing about 9 years ago, and I was 25 years old, and I had a baby, and I was pregnant, and I was very desperate to leave my full-time job.
And what was that?
I was working in corporate real estate. So I worked for a company called the Irvine Company at the time. It was a wonderful job, great benefits. But you know, I was driving about 45 minutes to work every day, working for 8 hours, then driving 45 minutes back. I really wasn't seeing my daughter very much, you know, and when she got sick, it was difficult. You know, I had to see how many sick days I had left and use up vacation, and you know, it was tough. And I was married at the time. I'm not anymore, but I was married at the time and both of us had corporate jobs. So it was really hard to juggle the responsibility of being a parent. I learned that really quick. When you've got, you know, a full-time corporate job, it out of the parents, somebody's got to either be at home or have more of a flexible job. And neither of us had that. So I sought out to, you know, find something that I could do from home so I could be the one that had the flexible schedule for our kids. And I just found out I was pregnant. So I had 9 months to do it. So
you had one child already and you found out you were pregnant with your second child.
Yes.
And you were basically saying, all right, this is the deadline I'm going to put out there in the universe. I want to be able to, you know, do something. And by the time I have that second child, I want to have this business up and running. I love it.
Yes.
It's very cool.
The whole plan was that I'm going to take my maternity leave and I'm not going to go back. So yeah. I had a solid, you know, 9 months to 12 months, because maternity leave is about three, mm-hmm. you know, to figure it out. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I was looking up other businesses. I had a bunch of ideas in my head. I think I was always kind of a natural entrepreneur because I always had these business ideas, but I was at a barbecue. My brother was there, and my brother had just started flipping houses maybe a year before me. So he was having some good luck with it at the time. Now this was 2011, 2012. It was a very different environment in real estate. We were post-recession. There were motivated sellers everywhere, even in Orange County. There were deals everywhere. I mean, if you just wanted to flip a house, you could. Like, you could find a deal on the MLS. You could go to the courthouse steps. There were so many options. So my brother, you know, said, you should think about what I do, because like, I work from home. And honestly, how much money do you really need to make to replace your income? Like what is a dollar amount you need to make every year? So I thought about it, and I took my salary, which was at the time $55,000. And I took away the daycare expense, which was, I don't even know, like half of my salary. Like,
yeah, it's 30-40 grand, right?
It was like, I think by the time, like, you know, cause you make 55, but you don't take home 55, you have to pay taxes. So it was like half my paycheck was going to daycare. So like, I came up with a number of like, I think it was like $36,000 was all I had to make every year to be the same, to be equal. And I would use the health insurance from my ex-husband, which husband at the time. And, you know, and I had this whole plan, like, okay, all I have to do is make $36,000. So my brother was like, that's like one flip house in California. Do you just have to flip one house a year and do that? I was like, why, you know, okay, no brainer. Sign me up. How do I do it? So he gives me the next day he comes and gives me this course, and it was from this guy named Mike Cantu. He's a local real estate investor here. He is awesome. Love the guy. Back then these courses would come on CDs. So it wasn't like how it is now where you log into some sort of online portal. It was these little CDs, and it was amazing. So I would pop these CDs and drive like to my morning commute.
These were just audios. They weren't even DVDs. They were CDs,
audio. Wow. So I was just listening as I was driving, and Mike was just teaching the business. And if I ever need to write something down, like I had a notepad and I'd like write it really quick. But for the most part, it was all auditory. And I was just listening. And it took me a week to listen to the whole course. And from then I was like, all right, I'm ready. Like, let's go. I'm going to do exactly what Mike said. And I did. I did everything that Mike said in that course. Step one so back then direct mail was the thing. Mm. So Mike was all about direct mail. I even copied his exact direct mail piece letter by letter. Same font.
He probably wanted you to.
Same font, everything. I mean, I use the same font. Like, I was like, I am not deviating. And I wish you guys, I mean, I tell my students this, don't deviate from what
don't
I say.
Right.
Stop deviating. So I did exactly what he said. And it took me, I started mailing, you know, some letters like a week later. It took me 4 months to get my first contract. So that's something that people don't realize. It takes time. So I didn't get my first contract on the first house that I flipped for 4 months of marketing and making offers. Now, what I realized was I didn't really understand offer pricing very well. And I was going off of the ARV times 70 minus repair rule. And that's why I hate that rule now. I 70%. Say it publicly. 70%. The whole ARV repair rule thing, I say it all over. I hate that rule. Because what happens is people hear that on a YouTube video and they go to California and use that rule. And that rule, first of all, that rule doesn't really work anywhere right now, but 70% doesn't work very well right now in the marketplace we're in. But they use it in markets, like they think it works everywhere, and it doesn't. It didn't work in California, where there was a little bit more demand for homes. So I was offering too low, essentially. That 70% was just making I'm so sorry.
You're fine.
That 70% was making my offer price too low. So I was just, I just kept getting outbid by other investors, sellers. I was making sellers mad. It was rough, you know? Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to adjust my pricing. I worked closely with my brother. I just kept trying to make offers. Eventually we found a really good deal. My brother and me had the idea, like the agreement that we would flip my first few homes together, split them 50-50. He would find the money. He would show me like how to handle the rehabs. And
so so your intentions were rehabbing at the time. It was fix and flip.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So yeah, I started out as a house flipper. So I did my first deal. It was in Laguna Niguel. It was a condo. And I bought it. I always say I bought it on the last day of the recession, because the next, like when we bought it, the property values started going up and it went up 10% just in the hold time. And I didn't even hold it that long.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we thought we would maybe make $35,000 on that house and split it. We made $65,000 on my first deal. So talk about beginner's luck, right? By the time I was in escrow,
and you guys fixed it up.
Yeah, we fixed it up. Nice. We had a contractor, but we, you know, fixed it up, remodeled it, put it back on the market, ended up getting, you know, a really, really good payday. So my goal was I needed to have a full year's salary in savings. So I really wanted $55,000 in my bank account. Like I needed to see that number before I felt comfortable quitting my job. So at this point I had a few more months to go and I had already gotten my next project. So our next project was an identical thing. It was literally identical, but in the neighboring city. It was in like Laguna Hills and it was another condo and it was the same numbers, like it in same profit. We made about 60 on that one. So I ended up having, you know, enough money by the last day of my maternity leave. You know, it was there. They closed. I was ready. I picked up the phone and quit my full-time job. And that was like one of the most memorable days of my life was, you know, just breaking through the shackles of corporate America.
Yes. Thing to do. It's a frightening thing to do, especially, I mean, you had a year saved, it sounds like, right? At that point.
I did.
So you hit the ground running, but you know, a lot of people don't have that kind of money saved and or any.
Yeah.
So yeah. Wow.
It was, you know, I'm all about, okay. This is a little woo woo, but I feel like I'm very good at manifesting. That is one of my skills. I feel like I'm very good at manifesting.
It's a powerful trait.
I really recommend if you guys have like a goal is envision yourself there. So like I pictured myself calling my boss and quitting my job and then walking outside and it's 10 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, like, and I'm outside and it's daylight. I'm not in an office building, you know?
Awesome.
And I kept replaying that vision that entire year. Every day I was like envisioning this phone call and how it would go. And then I would open up the door and the sun would shine on me and it was, you know, it was going to happen. So it did. That moment it came, you know, true. So I do feel like manifesting does help a little bit. If you picture something enough in your brain, like you're going to do whatever it takes to get there. So
agreed. 100%. Manifesting. So, you know, it's such a powerful exercise. It really is.
It really is. So, you know, that's kind of I like to tell the long story of how I got started just because it's always encouraging. I think when you first get started, to hear that I didn't close my first deal in the first month, you know, it took me a while. It took me over 6 months to get paid. So 4 months to find a deal. And I think we held it for another 4 to 5 months. So I think it took me 8 or 9 months just to get my first check from this business. So
yeah. Wow. Okay.
Calm down, people who get discouraged after a week of selling, you know, sending out some, you know, direct mail or texts or whatever.
Agreed. 100%.
You know, calm down.
You got to have some patience in this game.
You do. You do. So, I mean, I would like to say the rest is history. But essentially what happened in the marketplace was we had a few more years of it being relatively easy to find deals. And I was flipping houses primarily. I was wholesaling the ones I didn't want. But I was flipping and I got from, you know, 3 deals a year to I remember I had 11 deals a year, you know. I was having a hard time finding consistency though, because as the market got more stable, it got really stable in California and it just became impossible to find deals. But I realized that my friends in other states were not having as much of an issue finding deals as I was. So I realized, like, either I'm going to have to figure out how to make California work, which I'm really doubtful. I'm losing sleep at this point because it's going like 3 months before my next project. Like, I would go 3-4 months and not have a contract on the house. And you lose sleep at night. You know, at this point, I'm like a single mom at this point. I'm going, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? So I made the decision to go out of state and figure out how to do this business in a different state where there's less competition. Because arguably Orange County, LA, one of the most competitive areas in the country. I would say like next to like, you know, New York City, there's not a lot of places that are this competitive. Our average house price right now is $850,000. So in Bay Area, like, so I'd say California, it's Bay Area, LA, OC, even the Inland Empire a little bit. Very, very expensive territories and very difficult to wholesale or find flip deals. So I made the decision, I think it was 2016, to go virtual. And the first venture was I built some homes in Nashville. So we did some spec homes, ground up construction in East Nashville. That was super fun. And then that got me into wholesaling and more of a volume wholesale model. Hands down, wholesaling virtually is way easier than house flipping virtually. So I decided to focus more on wholesaling than chasing around contractors across the country. And yeah, now I'm in 4 different territories. I am primarily virtual wholesaling at volume. And about a little over a year ago, I launched a coaching program that focuses on virtual wholesaling. So that's my long story, but if you guys didn't know who I was, there you have it.
No, I love it, Lauren. Thank you so much for sharing. What states?
Right now I'm in Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and 2 territories in Oklahoma.
Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma times 2. All right. I like it. Are you not doing anything back home? And where are you at? Are you in Orange County?
I'm in Orange County. Okay. Yeah, I'm not. You know, the other day I was tempted to maybe pull a list and send a round of text messages to, you know, some neighborhoods in the Inland Empire. I was tempted to do that because, like, why not? But I haven't spent our marketing dollars in my hometown in a long time because they just go further in other states. So, yeah. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. So you're in 4 markets. Now, you said that you made the decision in 2016 to go virtual. You started doing spec homes in Nashville. And how long did you do that for?
I think it took about a year altogether, maybe a little bit over a year. I built 3 of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that difficult? That was virtual, right?
Yeah, it was virtual. But, you know, I got really lucky. I had a really good contractor. So our relationship was, you know, really good. I trusted the guy. He did a wonderful job. So, you know, it wasn't that hard. I actually think like ground up is easier than flipping in many ways, because when you're flipping, you know, you can
have so many things that can go wrong.
There's more variables because
yeah, and you remove a wall and then all of a sudden you got to fix the wiring. And then all of a sudden the wiring's going through the attic and you may have to then go up in the attic, and then you're in the attic and you're like, well, shit, this board needs to be replaced. And it's one thing turns into 12.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what was happening to me when I started trying to flip virtually, which I've done it a bunch of times. And every time I would say, I'm never doing this again. And then I would do it again. And then, like, I was like, okay, for real this time, I'm never doing it again. So I have held on to that one. I've not done it in probably a year. Mm-hmm. It's not an enjoyable process. Every time maybe the contractor would do one house well, and then the next one, they would take advantage of me. Like, so they would, you know, kind of lure me in and think we're cool, you know, like they would be good at first, right? Their first project would go pretty well.
Yeah, once they realize that, like, hey, the boss doesn't ever show up, like,
they'd realize I'm not there, and then they can make up stuff. And so flipping was pretty difficult, but the ground up, you really can't make anything up, you know, like,
yeah,
really
it's pretty straightforward. You need a foundation and then you got to build the house around it.
There's nothing for them to lie about.
Yeah. Like,
The first bid, there shouldn't be change orders unless you were changing like your materials. Like if you were changing.
Right. Which is either you're doing it or it's out of stock.
That was you.
Like that was basically your it. Right. So we got to go with something else. But even at that, you're able to go online and figure out the cost of that per foot or per pallet or per whatever you're buying it at. And it's very straightforward. I love that.
Yeah. So that experience was actually amazing, but the flipping was less desirable. And so I do not recommend flipping virtually unless you have somebody that is vested in the project with you local. So if you have like a partner that maybe put some money into it, so you
have
know
boots in the ground
boots in the ground and that they have a little bit of a, you know, a stake in the game here. I would say that's important. If they didn't put any money in it, I mean, what is their motivation to like make sure it goes seamless, you know?
Love it.
So
you started that in 16, did that for about a year. So sometime in 2017-ish, you moved into the virtual wholesaling space. So you were already in the virtual space for a whole year. It just wasn't with the wholesaling. It was with the flipping, and you had done a couple houses. And then in 2017, you said, hey, let's do this virtually. So did you remain in Nashville?
Yes and no. So, okay. I kind of did all three at the same time in 2016. I still had projects in California.
Okay.
So I hadn't let go of Cali. Mm-hmm. I wanted to diversify that year. So I had the Nashville properties. I had the Cali flips I was doing. Then I started wholesaling in Nashville virtually, kind of all in the same time. So I would say 2016 was a little bit of everything.
Okay.
But
okay.
After those homes were built in Nashville, then we decided, I wanted to do more development deals, but just nothing really penciled that I could find. So I was just focusing on wholesaling. And if something came up, great. If not, you know, whatever, we'll just wholesale. So I stayed in Nashville, I want to say at least another year, maybe a year and a half to 2 years. But what happened in Nashville is a very interesting time for that area. It was going through a major, major development boom. People were moving to Nashville in droves. I mean, it was crazy. It was the number one real estate market in the country. So it started to feel like California. I started to feel like I went from one California to another California. Why? Like if I'm going to go and have to compete this hard for deals, I might as well just be in my backyard. Like, what am I doing? So I wanted to find a more balanced market that's more stable. And I decided to look for something totally different. I wanted to go in a market where people were holding rentals, more of a rental market where, you know, it's sub 200,000, you know, more of your just kind of bread and butter, middle America.
Yeah. Market. Your middle class areas.
Yeah. Just, absolutely. You know, something in maybe the Midwest or something. And so I stumbled on Oklahoma City, and then that's really when the volume started going. So we've done, you know, I would say we do about 50, 55 a year. I think this year we'll definitely do more. Mm-hmm. So that's when we started doing it more in volume.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. So awesome. I'm looking online right now. The population in Nashville grew 19% from 2010 to 2020. So that's 1 in 5. So it basically, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's a crazy. And it's still growing. And that's just from 2020. So 2020 to 2020, almost into 2022 at this point. But three quarters of the way essentially through 2021, and it's booming. I was just down there with my wife it's probably been 4 months ago at this point. And man, even in this current atmosphere or climate of COVID, right?
Yeah.
Bars were still crowded and packed and people everywhere. And man, it's growing crazy. I'm actually working on, I don't have it under contract yet, but we're working on it. A package of 63 houses there right now to wholesale.
Oh, wow.
But it's going crazy and the values are just through the roof.
Yeah.
And I get it. I totally get it. So you stumbled across Oklahoma City and you just started just doing the virtual wholesaling, and now you've expanded into Pennsylvania, into Kentucky, and even another market within Oklahoma. So you're doing 4 markets. Holy cow. That's awesome. On pace to do over 55 deals this year. Amazing. Tell me a little bit about your team.
Yeah. So this year we're actually growing the team. So I kept the team very, very small during this whole time. It was like depending on what our market, I did have cold callers at one point. I think I had 1 to 2 cold callers and then one person and me. So like, I think I had a 4-person team for many of these years at most.
Wow. That is a small team. So what did that one person do? Just basically, were they like your executive assistant? Or
they were kind of, so I had someone who was doing like acquisitions. I had prospectors, like cold callers. And then I had one guy that was doing acquisitions and he was helping me with dispositions. And then we got an acquisitions person and now he still focuses on disposition sales.
He basically had an assistant then kind of.
Yeah. I mean, he was like me, like he did everything that I would do. Now it's way more formal roles. So, right.
That person local to, you said Oklahoma City was the first place that you kind of went to do the volume and the virtual wholesaling specifically.
Yeah.
Was that, so the cold callers, I'd assume, were VAs, right?
The cold callers at first were not. They were local here. I mean, we're talking lots of years. So it's like, you got to pick a time to ask me what was everyone.
No, I get it. So when
right
you started,
now, though, it's different. Right now, yeah. I kept it pretty lean and mean for, you know, I would say up to the beginning of this year, 2021, I decided to hire more and try to scale this more. So that's why this year we should do more deals this year. Mm-hmm. But so now I have more formal like job positions. It's more organized. So if you want to talk about what I'm doing right now, like that's probably the most relevant.
Let's hear it.
So I have a virtual assistant or virtual lead generation specialist. That's we even created special titles now.
I like it.
I am not your like operations person, as you can see, but I hired someone to be. And so now like I use people by their titles. So we have a virtual lead generation specialist. He is texting and cold calling for leads. So he's bringing in maybe 8 to 10 leads a day. We have other campaigns as well. We do we run TV ads to bring leads into, but he's doing the outbound marketing for us. And I just hired a new acquisitions person, making that 3 acquisitions people. We have a dispositions, which is the guy who's been with me from day one. He's been with all the positions at one point, but we've moved him to disposition sales and he's in charge of, once we get the contracts, he's selling them.
Love it.
And then I have a couple VAs that help.
Okay.
So they do, we've got a VA that manages the texting campaign and manages the lists and uploading the lists and to the software.
So it's still a relatively small team. You plus
small.
3 acquisitions and 1 dispo.
Yeah.
And a few VAs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You probably got 8 or 9 people, give or take, total, including yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Still pretty small.
I love it. So the guy that does the dispo, is he also doing closing coordination? Are you
You know what? I left one person out. We recently just hired a TC. We hired a TC, a transaction coordinator. She works part-time. So she's helping doing the closing coordination. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we have a closing coordinator. You know, it's funny. I hear people say transaction coordinator, TC. It's never stuck with me. I've always just referred to them as closing coordinators, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, basically. And she helps, like, she calls like the sellers and schedules like the buyer walkthroughs and stuff.
Love it. And it helps them get familiar with the title company and make sure they got all their I's dotted and T's crossed. I love it. That's awesome.
The next thing that I really want to hire. So we put a formal like offering to someone to hire another person actually on Friday. And what we want to do is move somebody into disposition sales. So I want to explore this role. Maybe we can explore it together. Mm-hmm. So his name is Hi, who does my dispositions right now. And we're just getting now overloaded. Like at this year, we're growing. And now it's like, we're getting, you know, like 20 contracts a month and it's too much for him. Like he's getting to where I think he's not able to really market all the contracts. So he's, you know, letting some things drop. So the newest position that I really thought we need is, why don't we have anybody in disposition sales who's like their one job is just to get on the phone and sell those contracts? And High is a little bit more of he underwrites our contracts. So he makes sure that we don't put anything under contract too high. So he looks at the numbers. So he has to look at all of our leads.
He's doing acquisitions too.
Kind of like in that sense that he has to help price it out for the acquisitions.
Or people. Underwriting them at least.
Yeah. Underwriting. Yeah. So he's underwriting the deals. He's the one in the end, like when the, like my idea is that he'll collect the offers from, you know, the end buyers and negotiate and try to raise, you know, the fee and manage the TC, manage the dispo salesperson. But we've never, there's this hole in our company that I thought about that we haven't had is really just somebody to like, just focus where they have the contracts in and their job is to sell them and to get on the phone and call the local investors, make sure that they see our deals, you know, and really work them. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have somebody on your team that does that?
So it sounds like the guy that you have doing the dispo now has been with you a really long time, right?
He has. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we do have somebody on our team. So we have VAs that do a lot of the inbound. We have VAs that do cold calling, cold texting, just like you. And we have a closing coordinator. We have acquisitions guys. I have a girl that does just dispositions and that's all she does. Mm-hmm. Our closing coordinator kind of steps in. Her name's Megan. She kind of steps in and helps out where there's just gaps. Mm-hmm. And I don't do anything virtual, right? So I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm in the Midwest, not too far from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And essentially myself and my partner, Mike, do a lot of the underwriting. Reason is, and I'm a little different. So, and my next question after we get through team is going to be about some of your strategies. Obviously virtual is one, but there's a couple others that I'm going to ask you about here in a second. But really the name of the game for us is keep the best, wholesale the rest. All right. So wholesaling is an awesome business. I love it. You know, we're doing anywhere from 6 to 12 deals a month on average. But those are deals that we have essentially passed on, right? So they're deals, nonetheless, I don't think that's the right word, right? But they're not deals that we want to add to the portfolio of rentals or actually fix and flip. So we have a couple fix and flips going. We're not really a fix and flip company. We're landlords at heart. That's really where my passion is.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's the passive income and it's using the Burr method. I absolutely love the Burr method. It's such an amazing strategy. This time last year, Lauren, we had about 87 properties. One of my business partners wanted to retire and we had to pay off some debt. So we took it down from 87 to about 40. We sold over half the portfolio. I think it was even 35. And right now I'm sitting on about 60. So we went from 87 to 35 and then we're at 60. And then as of right now, we probably have another 40 doors under contract. So the goal is to get back over 100 or back, you know, get to 100, by the end of the year. And, but again, I'm sidetracking here.
Yeah.
The main thing that we love doing is building that portfolio of rental properties to create passive income. And a lot of people don't, you know, they don't really talk about it when they're talking about being a landlord, but like the depreciation of owning all these properties is massive.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't make millions of dollars. I do okay. But I barely pay any taxes. Like,
oh my gosh.
Barely any. Yeah. Like last year, I think I maybe paid like 12 or 15 grand in taxes. Oh, you know, when in theory, it should have been like 150 grand in taxes, you know, 200 grand in taxes, but I barely pay any at all because we're depreciating these properties. These properties are cash flowing. The market has been appreciating, which is awesome. So there's just a lot of advantages. Yeah. So what we do is we keep the best. That's the slogan around here. We keep
the best. So you and your partner look to see came under contract. So
and we wholesale the rest.
And then you wholesale. Okay.
Yeah. So
there is a hole in my company, like, because essentially High needs to be you and your partner in this, like, and then I need someone there. He's just too busy is what we came down with in the last, when we started getting 20 contracts a month, we're like, okay, he's too busy. It's too much for one person.
Yeah.
And I can't step in. I've got so many other things, other projects, you know, other things.
And you're busy with coaching too.
I'm busy with coaching. I got a software launching. It's just, it's crazy. So we wanted to insert someone, you know, to help him essentially. So he's kind of going to be like that person that's sort of that you're saying on your team is you and your partner, you know, and I totally get, you know, the idea of wanting to keep, you know, these rentals. My goals are different, you know, and I think that's what is the beautiful thing about real estate. Like to anybody who's listening, like everybody's goals are different. And there was something in me that did not, I don't like have this, I don't see myself holding a bunch of single family rentals. It was never really a goal of mine. I mean, my dad had a bunch of single family rentals. Maybe like there's something about listening to him bitch about them all the time. I don't know. but it was never like when I saw myself, you know, when I was younger, like what do I want to do is not to be a single family, like to own a bunch of single families. I wanted to own companies. So I've been investing my money in myself, which is, that's what I'm doing is just in myself and building businesses. But what I really, and I'm going to say it out loud publicly.
Put it out in the universe.
Because this is putting it out in the universe. I'm manifesting right now. So my big goal is I do want to own buildings. So I want to own at least a 50 unit multi-tenant building. Yeah, I'm not sure yet if it's going to be apartments. Maybe we'll do something different. You know, I don't know. Maybe apartments, maybe the, you know, mobile home parks or who knows, maybe industrial buildings. Like, I don't know, you know, but I want to own multi-tenant buildings. That was my background. I've got a background in commercials. So that was always where I saw like myself going. That was always the goal I had. So I never got really into like keeping my wholesales as rentals because my head was always like, let me just do this, invest in other things. And then I'll have a really nice balance sheet and I can buy some.
Yeah. Build the capital, focus on, you know, what you're good at, stay in your lane. You know, a lot of people have a big issue with that. Not issue. That's the wrong word, but like they struggle with staying in their lane and they're chasing shiny objects all the time. And when you try to chase two rabbits, guess how many rabbits you catch?
None.
Right. Yeah. So it's such a, I love it. The fact that you're ultra focused is cool, but you got these big goals too of you know, multiple, you know, big multi-units. And again, you're not necessarily defining it into just the residential side. So that's really awesome.
I don't know yet. And I think when you're, like you said, like stay in your lane. Like, I love that. Don't feel like you have to do every shiny object just because you listen to a podcast. Like you guys, like just right now, this is a perfect example. Maybe for a minute, David could have made me feel a little bit like, I should be buying single families and doing Burr. You know what? I'm going to buy a book on Burr right now. Let me get on Amazon. I'm going to Burr houses. Like, that's what happens when you listen to these podcasts. Like, you go, oh, shiny object.
I'll send you my book.
Oh my God, no, I need to burr houses. You guys, I'm such an idiot because I haven't been burring these houses. So I'm going to do that, you know, but again, like, when I sit back and I have my thinking time and my quiet time, Lauren never visioned herself there. I didn't. I had a vision. I have a vision, and Lauren is going to own a building. My vision is a building. For some reason, that's what it looks like in my head. Not saying that there's better or anything better or worse. It's just that wasn't my vision. And so stick with like, where did you really see yourself going? Like, you know, meditate on it for a second and like, what's your vision? And then just like, I'm putting blinders on to, you know, the other ideas. They come in and man, it's hard. Like sometimes like, you know, there's, you know, maybe I should think about burning some of these homes. Why not?
You there's know, so many strategies, you know, and really what I tell my students is here's the, and I'm sure you're the same way, Lauren. We share a lot of similarities. I basically tell them, listen, guys, I do fix and flip. I do wholesale. I do rentals. My passion is rentals. But because I'm doing the Burr method, I have to buy at a discount for the Burr method to really capitalize to its fullest. Okay. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what you want to do, right? If you want to be a wholesaler, do you want to be a landlord? Do you want to be a fix and flipper? You know, none of those are really good strategies if you're paying retail. Those doors. Yeah. Those doors are cracked or closed, right? In terms of using a metaphor. And if you're able to go out and buy a property, even if it's only at like a 10 or 15% discount, ideally it's 20% or greater, right? But even if it's only a 10 or 15% discount, you know, now you have the ability to go walk through that wholesale door, that fix and flip door. Those doors are wide open to you when you have a discount. But if you don't have a discount, you're fighting an uphill battle, right? Mm-hmm. So what I tell my students, and I'm sure you're the same way, but learn the marketing game. Learn how to find the deals. You know, like last year, but basically for the last couple of years, my partner Mike and I have been buying about 100 houses a year, and only like two or three of them, maybe four or five, maybe are listed MLS properties. Mm-hmm. You know, like 95% plus are direct to seller marketing. Yep. So again, it doesn't really matter what that exit is. Figure out how to find deals.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can figure out what you want to do, because you've essentially mitigated your risk by buying those at a discount, right?
Yeah.
But that's really kind of the strategy. So that's what we teach people is, hey, figure out how to get that marketing ball rolling. And mm-hmm. then from there, if you want to get into wholesaling, great. I think wholesaling is such an amazing strategy. The only downside to wholesaling is you have to start over once you get, you know, do a deal, right? So you have to constantly do the marketing. So I really like the landlording business because I get paid every month, right? It's a lot smaller check, but if you times that by 60, or, you know, we want to get up to 200 or 300 doors in the next couple of years. And I don't see any reason why we won't, you know, we're already almost to 100 basically at this point. So, I think it's awesome. It's really cool. So Lauren, tell me a little bit about the coaching program. So it's a virtual program, right? Like, cool. Lay it on. What you got?
So, you know, maybe 2 years ago, I was on the Wholesaling Inc. podcast with Brent Daniels, and I was sharing with him, you know, my struggles in California and how, you know, I had to go virtual and I made it work and I, you know, closed 55 deals that year. And I guess, you know, they had their ears perked up a little bit because my story sounded like a lot of other students within the tribe. And they were struggling with telling the students what to do, because none of the coaches at Wholesaling Inc. were virtual, and they were all in markets that, you know, were more conducive to wholesaling, you know, and they didn't, it was like a hole in their coaching program offering that they didn't really have. So Brent, you know, it was funny because after the podcast, Brent was like, so what are you up to? Like, what do you feel like doing? And, you know, and it was funny because at that time I was like, I think I'm going to try the Burr method and buy. I was actually looking at the single family thing, but then again, meditated on it. I was like, nope, that's not where I see myself going. So Brent was like, you know what? Screw all that. You should be a real estate influencer. And I was like, what is that? He's like, you just would be really good at it. You're very, you know, you're good on the camera. Like you're good at speaking.
You got awesome energy.
Absolutely. I got good energy, right? I'm a lot, you know, and I'm you know, I'm hyper and I talk a lot, and, you know, I found a career that just meets those needs very well. So I didn't know what an influencer was, did not know what Brent was talking. I was like, what's an influencer? What, you know? And so it turned into me going down to Phoenix and just hanging out with Brent and seeing like what that looked like for him as a coach. And, you know, the filming and the YouTube videos and what that all looked like. And he's like, you should put a course together in virtual because there's none out there. And he's right. There really wasn't a lot. There was a few courses, but not really. So I put something together. It took me about a month. I just wrote down all the mistakes I made in 4 years of going virtual. So nobody would have to make them again. And
I love that you led with that.
Yeah,
hey, these are the mistakes that I made. Don't make these. And then, of course, you built on it to add all the other stuff in there. But
everything
that's awesome.
Was mistakes. I just wrote down all the mistakes that I wish I would have for the last 4 years. And I packaged it up in 10, now 11 modules in a coaching program. And we launched it. We went live. So before we went live, Tom made me coach some students for free just to make sure I had it in me and that, mm-hmm. you know, I really didn't know what I was talking about. And, you know, they really vet the coaches. They check my HUDs and everything to make sure I'm the real deal. And we launched, and within, you know, the first year, I think within the first year, we got maybe 250 students. We now have over 320 students right now that's been through the program. And it's crazy because, you know, I never you launch something and you don't really know if it's going to work, because I was never a coach before. So I didn't know, maybe I'm just special and I was able to pull this off and nobody else could. No, it turns out that I'm actually not that special. I have students that were doing so much better than I was even 4 years into it after taking my program. It's hilarious. I'm you're doing better than I was before I wrote this program. You're doing better than I was then. That's crazy. And this is your first 6 months in the, you know, the business. Mm-hmm. So I've had some students really, really do well. I've had students all the way from India to Spain and everywhere in between.
And are they wholesaling in their markets? Or are they wholesaling in the US?
Virtually. So everybody that got in is mainly, they want to be able to go virtual. Some are doing it in their back, but more rare. Most of them are doing it in virtual markets. And it's either because they have jobs that where they travel a lot, or their spouses have jobs that they've had to move around. Or they live in areas like California, Miami. Some of these Florida markets are just getting so blown out. A lot of New Yorkers, a lot of New Jersey, just high price markets. They're in markets that are very high priced. So they come to me to teach them how to wholesale in markets that are, you know, lower price point, where they can do more deals.
Easier barriers to entry.
Yeah. Easier. Yeah. Just easier markets to wholesale, easier markets to hold rentals. I coach, you know, find the rental markets though. That really is your best bet, because then you could also, I always say wholesaling is a gateway drug. So it's the gateway drug to other real estate investing.
It is. So it absolutely is.
It totally is. Totally is. You can quote that.
It finds you. I'm going to, it finds you, or it teaches you how to find deals.
Yeah.
And, on top of that, it teaches you how to get your feet wet flipping them.
Right.
It's going to build your confidence.
It does.
Incredibly fast, mm-hmm. when you start doing deals. And then again, from there, if you want to pivot into Burr method or rentals, mm-hmm. or fix and flip, or maybe it's owner financing or sub two, it could be anything, right? You still got to learn how to find those deals. I love
that. 100%. It's such a good entry point for someone. You know what's so crazy, and where I look at how wholesaling I think is really going to benefit me in my dreams and aspirations of syndicating large multi-tenant buildings. So, you know, I'm learning and hanging out in circles. I'm doing commercial real estate and actually buying buildings, that's new for me, right? I'm a beginner. So what did I do? I look for a coaching program. You know, and I started surrounding myself with, you know, other influencers that do it. And I bought books on it. And right now I'm in a coaching program that's mainly focused on raising the capital to syndicate deals.
That was actually one of my next questions is, hey, you're a coach, but how many coaches do you have? And it sounds like you got one.
I'm in a coaching program right now about, you know, raising, we're talking millions and millions of dollars, to buy these things. So I'm learning the skills of raising large amounts of money. And the funny thing is when I hear them talk about how they're, you know, going to cold call for, you know, to talk to high net worth individuals or just these other marketing strategies they're going to use, my wholesaler background was like, well, why don't you put that on a drip feed campaign in your CRM? And so then you're not texting them, you know, every 3 weeks, check in with them and see if they're interested or, you know, mm-hmm. I'm thinking the marketer in me because of my wholesaling experience. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how, you know, that experience. Yeah. I mean, maybe I don't end up burying homes or getting a bunch of single family rentals, but it has helped. It applies to other industries. The mm-hmm. sales and marketing that you have to do in wholesaling, I think it is one of the most sales and marketing intensive businesses you can own.
I agree. And, 100%.
You know, if you can hang and still manage to do 50 deals a year, you know, wholesaling houses, you can do a lot of other businesses very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then that's, you know, that is this business. You know, a business without leads is really no business at all. Mm-hmm. Right. You got to have the leads, and that's really where the marketing comes into play. You know, if I was just to try to do my business from the MLS, you know, we would obviously do more than 3 to 5 purchases a year because that would be the focus, but it wouldn't be near 100. It'd probably be 15 or 20 tops, maybe not even.
Yeah.
You know, but because we've mastered, you know, we're constantly learning, of course, you know, what's working, what's not, where are we seeing a positive ROI or a better ROI? Where can we shift resources? Where do we shift people? It's a constant, you know, learning process, of course. But once you figure out the direct to seller marketing, it just makes your life a lot easier because you have a steady flow of deals coming in. And if you want to wholesale them again, like I said earlier, you can wholesale them. And if you want to go fix and flip them, you can fix and flip them. And if you want to be a landlord, like my passion, then you can do that as well. But without having the deal flow and the consistency, it is very, very challenging. Absolutely. Yeah. 100% agree with that. So tell us, I don't want to go too long. I know you've got things to do and I really, really appreciate you coming on the show today. Just providing all this value, telling everybody, you know, how you started. There's a lot of value there. You might not realize it, but I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to reach out to me after this episode. And they're gonna be like, man, that was awesome. And it is, this is great. So before we jump into the next topic, which is the software, I want you to just give me a little sneak peek on that. The coaching program. So you've already had over 300 students and you're on the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I'm on the website right now.
Yes.
Guys, if you go check out wholesalinginc.com/virtual, or just go to Wholesaling Inc. and at the top, you can see programs and virtual is one of those. You can learn all about Lauren's program. It's Virtual Investing Mastery with Lauren Hardy. And she has an amazing program over there. What did I miss?
Man, I mean, that's a perfect place to send people. I also have some freebies I give away on my personal website. So if you go to laurenhardyco.com, so laurenhardyco.com, I've got a free flip deal analyzer calculator that should be uploaded right now. Hopefully it is. We just launched that one and we've got a free wholesaling mini course and a free seller script. So if you want to, you know, get some freebies, check that out. I also drop a video a day on YouTube. Very, you know, tutorial, short to the point, lots of information being thrown at you. So check out Lauren Hardy on YouTube as well.
And
Instagram is This Mom Flips. Yeah. So everything I do, we drop it on Instagram as well. So,
and then your YouTube is Lauren Hardy, right?
Yeah. Just Lauren Hardy.
Okay. And that's H-A-R-D-Y for anybody that's driving their car right now and is curious. So Lauren Hardy on YouTube, on Instagram, This Mom Flips. And then her website is laurenhardyco.com. And guys, she's got some freebies over there. So you'd be a fool to pass on this opportunity. Go check them out. Free flip deal analyzer, free wholesaling mini course. And then of course, some free seller scripts over there as well. Awesome. Lauren, that is amazing. And then of course, if you haven't heard of Lauren, she is one of the hosts of the Wholesaling Inc. podcast, which is the number one podcast on the planet for wholesaling real estate. So check it out. I love it. Lauren, if you don't mind, I know we only have a few minutes here, but if you don't mind, you know, tell me a little bit about this software that you're going to be launching. Super curious.
Yeah. So we are launching a CRM. This is actually the first time I said this out loud on a podcast, but it's been a year in the making. After I got some coaching students under my belt, I noticed a need for more sales funnel management training. So what I mean by that is what's a lead? How often do I follow up with them? How soon do I need to give them an offer? Students were asking me these questions and I realized, yeah, nobody teaches this in school. There's not a class in school that teaches you, you know, how to generate leads and then and talk to them.
You don't learn about money and you don't learn about sales. And those are the two things that you kind of need to have to be an entrepreneur or a business owner.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the software that's out there, you know, there's amazing softwares in this space, you know, but we thought about like, how could we teach someone sales funnel management skills with a software right out of the box? Well, a CRM, that's the most obvious. So we created a CRM. It's a, you know, a CRM that out of the box is going to teach you sales funnel management habits. And it's not going to, it's already preset. There's tasks in there. So when you do an action, there already is a follow-up task and it's going to let you know, like when this CRM is going to let you know when to follow up. And in fact, it's going to follow up for you because we have follow-up automated drip campaigns already preset. We have automated texting follow-up, automated email follow-up. You know, if you put in a seller, just a new seller in your CRM, it'll automatically text the seller, hey, my name's Lauren. I'm going to be calling you today. here's my information in case you want to give me a call, but I'll talk to you soon. So we've got every kind of automation that you could think of in this CRM. I'm super, super excited about it. And I think we're going to be able to soft launch in about, hopefully October 2021. We're in beta right now. And I just want to make sure.
A couple months. So that's right around the corner.
Yeah, we want to make sure it's absolutely perfect. But yeah, we call it Deal Pro, and it's me and Tag Thompson created it together. And David, we got to get you on Deal Pros Live on Wednesdays. So
I would love that.
Yeah, you better be on it.
We got to get you on My Coffee with Closers on Wednesdays.
Oh, okay, good. We'll
swap an episode. Yes.
Yeah, we did. We were doing Deal Pros Lives, and nobody really knew what it was about. But the whole thing was that it was because we were creating a CRM. And so
what's the URL?
It's going to be dealproscrm.com. We have not made it live yet because it's not ready. So
D-E-A-L-P-R-O-S, no apostrophe, I'm assuming.
Dealproscrm.
CRM.com. Got
yeah,
it. Okay.
Deal Pro.
Awesome. So Lauren, one of the things that really stuck out with what you just said, and I just want to reiterate. So you said out of the box, it's going to teach you sales funnels habits. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it's all about the habits, right?
Yep.
And it's all about the consistency. So before Lauren and I started this episode, we were chit-chatting just for a couple minutes, 3 or 4 minutes. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about was the fact that, you know, a lot of students will come to her or they'll come to me and they'll say, yeah, I want to get my first deal in the first 30 days. And we're both, of course, like, yes, this is great. Let's do everything we possibly can. But at the same time, it's not that realistic. You know, some people do get it in 30 days.
Right.
It took you 4 months to get your first contract and 4 to 5 more months to get paid. It mm-hmm. took me 4.5 months to do my first deal as well. Now I was doing wholesaling out the gate, so I didn't have to wait. I maybe had to wait 2 weeks to get paid. But essentially it was, 4 to 5 months to get that first deal. And that's kind of an average, right? It's usually a couple months to get that first deal. But even if you look bigger than just first deals, right? So I'm talking about my data, which is 7 years strong at this point. And we've done about 700 deals at this point. On average, it takes us 4 to 6 months. So let's just say 5 months to go from lead being entered in my system to contract. Now that's not getting paid. That's just putting that property under contract. It's about 5 months on average.
Wow, okay.
And one of the things that you had just said, out of the box, it's going to teach you sales funnels habits. Habits is the key word there, guys.
Yes.
You got to be really consistent. And in fact, one of my favorite sayings is consistent, persistent action equals success. You have to be consistent. So you have to have habits. And your system, it sounds like, is going to help teach people how to have these habits. You know, like you can't just follow up once or twice.
Right.
You know, you got to be consistent with this follow up. And, you know, I was looking at it. We did a couple deals last week and I was just going, I always make sure everyone on my team gets a bonus when we do a deal. I want to make sure the cold caller or the cold texter that touched the lead gets a bonus. I want the acquisitions guy to get a bonus. I want the dispositions guy to get a bonus. I want everyone to get paid because it encourages everybody to work harder and be happy and have good energy, right? So I'm always, when we do deals, and sometimes I don't even know what's going on because I've trained people around me to do such amazing jobs, which is a little embarrassing to know that I don't know what's going on half the time, but at the end, when it's about to close, I'm like, hey, let's take a look, right? Where'd the lead come from? How do we get it? How long has it been in the system? And lately what I've been noticing is the amount of follow-ups that have gone into play over an average of 5 months. I mean, it's usually 15 to 30.
Wow.
It's not six. It's not four. It's definitely not one or two. Now, will a lead come in that it's a deal right away? Yeah, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. But that's icing on the cake. Typically, it's going to take 4 to 6 months for a lead to turn into a deal and the number of touches, right? So a touch mm-hmm. could be, you know, usually it's outbound. It could be inbound, but usually it's outbound. And it's a call. It's a text. It's a voicemail. It's an email. It's anything. It could be a postcard. It could be a contract. It's just anything that's basically letting them know that, hey, I'm here to help. And if you have an issue or a problem, you know, I can solve that problem for you.
Right.
And yeah, it's usually 15 to 30 touches. So the fact that you are building out a system that is going to help teach those habits
yes.
is yeah. awesome. I can't yeah. wait. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And we'll definitely have you on Deal Pros Live and we'll, you know, demo it for you so you guys, you know, can see. We're going to be doing a lot of demos, you know, on that Wednesday time slot. So we're really excited about it. But yeah, that's all I'm working, you know, working on and working hard over here.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about Deal Pros right before we wrap up. Deal Pros Live. The live.
Deal Pros, yeah. Deal Pros Live is me and Tag Thompson. And honestly, it started out as just like we were just talking about any type of topic wholesale related.
Yeah, of course.
Comping houses for people, you know, anything. People would ask, it was all very unscripted Q&A. It was just a time we could put people on the hot seat. So, you know, it was kind of cool to, you know, we made a lot of breakthroughs for people. We had some loyal listeners, you know, that would ask questions and, we were just giving it to them straight. And so the thing I like about Deal Pros Live, I think is cause it's my platform. So you're going to get a little bit more of me giving it to you straight, a little bit more Lauren unscripted, where I do feel like when I'm on other people's platforms or on Wholesaling Inc, I'm a little bit more, this is a family show. So
I like it. Yeah. This is more unscripted. So what times? This is every Wednesday. It's a live
every
show.
I'm Wednesday, assuming it's on YouTube. Were doing a Wednesday, 5 p.m. We took some time off. So we're going to relaunch and we'll let you know. So follow me on Instagram so you guys can get the notice of when we relaunch. And we're going to start bringing in guests and we are going to start publicly talking about what we've been working on this entire year.
What time zone?
Pacific Standard. So Deal Pros Live, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I love it. Awesome. Yeah. Guys, check it out. Deal Pros, it's going to be launching in October. Deal Pros Live, Wednesdays, 5 p.m. It's going to be coming back. How many more weeks do you think it'll take to get that back up?
I think probably 2 more weeks.
2 more weeks? Okay, yeah. Awesome. This will take about a week to publish. So basically, you're going to have 1 week from the time you're hearing this before Lauren will be back live, unscripted, Wednesday nights. And then, of course, guys, don't forget, check out laurenhardyco.com for some free resources. This Mom Flips on IG. I love her IG. She's always got great content. And her YouTube channel is really popping right now. It's doing great. She puts out some amazing long form content over there. And you can find out more on YouTube, of course, at Lauren Hardy. If you're looking for a virtual coach, Lauren is the best in the business. I can tell you that with certainty. I have seen and talked to several of Lauren's students that have had great success. And Chris and Brent over at Wholesaling Inc. are constantly praising Lauren for how hard she works and how much she cares about her students, guys. So again, I can't speak highly enough about Lauren. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on today. I know our audience is going to find great value in this. I'm incredibly grateful for your time. And do you have any parting words for us today?
Oh my goodness. Parting words. I'm like the worst at that. Okay. How about this? Parting words right now. This is very on brand. I was listening to the Skinny Confidential and they had the author of this book called Essentialism. Mm-hmm. And I'm super into this, like this word right now. And so I just got the audiobook Essentialism, but essentially it is focusing on, you know, activities that's really going to move the needle and trying to block out things that are kind of wasting your time. So only doing what's essential. So let's put it all out there into the world that, you know, look at your day right now. And what are things that you did today that didn't really move the needle, isn't really productive? Let's eliminate that. And let's focus on just what's essential and don't forget to manifest.
Oh, I love that last
part. Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have to bring you back here in a couple months as well. It'll be good to catch up with you as well. And I'm looking forward to, you know, talking with you a little bit more about Deal Pros as well as my live show, Coffee with Closers. Guys, if you have any questions for Lauren, reach out to her on IG. That's probably the best place in terms of just, you know, random communications. But don't forget YouTube and her website as well as wholesalinginc.com. That's all for today, guys. Signing off. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Discount Property Investor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to help us reach a wider audience. To jumpstart your real estate investing career, visit freewholesalecourse.com, the most complete free course on wholesaling real estate ever. We would also appreciate it if you left us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Thank you in advance for your support. And remember, you make your money when you buy, you get paid when you sell. Now let's go build some wealth.